Very much for coming once again. You know, it's officially Elul now. You're here. It's good. Thank you. And this is our fifth year doing this, and it's evolved into different programs and different ideas. And Baruch Hashem. Very, very happy to see everybody here. Thank you again to the sponsors and to people help make it possible. Fresco, Mr. Getzel, for sponsoring the meals, and the sponsors of the event. Who are on the pamphlets, the law firms of Stock, Hahn & Braverman and Mack Legal, and ATD Mediation, Daniel Feld. So, really, just to ma'ayer that we're into the month of Elul, and I always say in Elul, one of the favorite tefillos that we always say is Avinu Malkeinu. That's what we're looking for. That's like the highlight of the Yom Norim davening, Avinu Malkeinu. And if we have to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Avinu and Malkeinu, which one would we rather approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu as? As Avinu or as Malkeinu? Malkeinu, he's all-powerful. And that's great. But if you can approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Avinu, how much more so are you going to be Zoyche Bedin? Avinu is your father. He's your father, who's also the king. So when a person is Mischazik in Avodas Hashem, he's coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Malkeinu. Hashem has rules for us, his mitzvahs, we have to follow it, and we're Mischazik in Avodas Hashem. But when a person is Mischazik in Torah and puts a focus on Torah, now they're approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Avinu. Like it says, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha V'Karveinu Malkeinu L'Avodasecha. That when a person is approaching Kadosh Baruch Hu with Torah, it's Hashiveinu Avinu L'Torah Secha. So when what better opportunity to start off our Elul 1 week in already, this man, as we get ready for Yom Neroim, to Minchazik in our learning, and this is a great way to do that. Today and tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, try to learn in the morning and start off, you know, an extra Seder, and it's really very, very nice to see everyone here. We hope in Mitzvah Hashem that some of these ideas part of this Yarchikal is also, we're going to be trying to do more often things which, for people in the business world, will combine and make people aware of certain issues that come up from a Torah perspective, and maybe if there's a Torah for people to be more aware of those issues as time goes on, we'll be trying to do more of that as well in Mitzvah Hashem with Yad Yishmaya. But to start off the topic and introduce the topic so that when you learn the Makaris, you understand what you're looking for and what's the sort of the topic. Rabbi Krishna is going to give a psicha just to give a little introduction to the topic. And Rabbi
Krishna, thank you. Okay, I'm not going to hold you a long time. I know everybody's chomping at the bit to learn and to continue learning. But just a small hakdama, because these are to many people, these are newish concepts. But first of all, thank you for bringing me here once again. And this is always a wonderful olam to sit and learn with. And I'm particularly excited because this sugya that we're going to learn, as you'll see, it cannot be more relevant. Because, and I'll tell you, when you learn this 5 years ago, I haven't learned this in a bunch of years, it's Torah, but it wasn't as relevant. But in today's day and age of hyperinflation, and you'll see, this is Mamash Tesugya is directly talking to us. So I have not learned it since the world went bananas. So I'm really excited to do it now, like with a whole new perspective. There's an Isser in the Torah called Ribbis, and it's an Isser that's extremely Chomer, and you might say every Isser is Chomer, and that's true, but sometimes you do find that certain Isserim are singled out, and Tosfos tells us that the only Isser that a person is guaranteed not to have Tchiyas HaMesim, if he engages in that Isser, is the Isser of Ribbis. That's what Tais says, right? And there's a famous story that Rikiveger, there was a Malva B'Ribbis in the town of Posen, and then when he was Nifter, the Chevra Kedisha didn't have anything to do with him. And then the family put a lot of pressure, so then they decided they're going to charge him way more than they usually charge to bury someone. And then the family went to the parrots, the political leader of the time, and they massered. It seems like the whole family didn't fall from the fruit didn't fall far from the tree, and they masir on the chevra kedisha that they're charging more because you lent beribis. So they called Rabbi Kveger, and Rabbi Kveger said it's a pashta zach because when we bury someone, it's essentially a short term rental. Sheikh's going to come and that's it. But this fellow, he's going to be there permanently. The rate has to go up. It's basic rules of economics. So it's a long term. Yeah, you have to pay some sort of penalty, some sort of, you know, if that person's parked. So it's chomad moed. I'm just going to give a very basic, extremely brief overview, only so you can understand the context of specifically what we're learning. I would love to learn the whole Ezer Neshech, but it would be very challenging in 2 days. So we're specifically learning a pinpointed sugya. The Torah tells us that we're not allowed to lend money beribis. You lend $100 or $1,000 or $100,000, and you're going to get back, and you kaitzitz. Kaitzitz means you set at the time of the halva, you're going to get back more money. That could be in the form of a lump sum for $100,000, $110,000, or that could be in the form of every month you don't pay up the principal, you have to pay it. You have to pay a finance fee, or it's a combined thing like the mortgages are now. But that's irrelevant. This is called ribis katsutsa. And the Torah says there's six lavin, there's six yisurim, that a person zayir if he lends ribis, lends. You have to lend money, and it's kaitzitz b'shas the halvad, like sitein tarbis, like sitein ashech, like sasimon, like sikach, lifnei iver, and like knaisha. So the six yisur. Okay, now that's if you set the loan b'shas ma'aser. You say I'm going to charge you. I'm obligated to pay more. Let's say I don't do that, but the fellow feels a certain obligation that he borrowed money and he pays more at the time of the loan, or during the loan, or after the loan, right? Or even before the loan. He says, I'll give you money, I'll give you points up front to make a loan, right? So then it's called ribis mucheres, ribis mukdemes. That wasn't set, there's no obligation, but he pays it anyways because he feels an obligation, right? So that is called ribis mucheres, ribis mukdemes, and that is also midrabanan. And then let's say you start the loiva who borrowed the money is machabed. He starts honoring the malven, and the shul gives the guy an aliyah whenever he comes because he lent the shul money, right? So then we start getting into ribis dvarim, and there's all sorts of ribis that we know, and there's avak ribis, and there's many forms of ribis, and the reason why I tell you is this is very chomer. But we are not learning anything to do with that. We are learning something specific that's called ribis derech mekech umemker. And ribis derech mekech umemker has two sides of a coin. And this is very important just to get this... the vernacular of our sugya. I think we once learned Yared Lumnis together, so there was Yared Lumnis, there was Marufya, Ani Mahapich, and every sugya has its own words. And the words that we're going to be learning today is Psika and Tarsha. And Psika and Tarsha are the same thing, just reversed. The definition of Psika, and this is what we're learning today, Psika means you are not lent. Sorry?
Specific?
I'm sorry, what?
Psika means
specific. Psika means you set, it's talking about in the context of Mekech Umemker. You're buying something, and usually when you buy something, you pay at the point of the transaction. And the definition of psika is you front money. Now, this, you're not lending money in the sense that I'm making a halva, because really the transaction is a sale. I'm giving you money, and now you give me a recorder. Okay? So really what's happening is, do we see a real loan? We do not see a loan. But the person is fronting the money. Fronting money means he's giving money before he's taking it home. And it has a tsuras halva. Tsuris halva means it takes somewhat the form of a lending. Okay, and Chazal were very, very concerned about that, because what's going to happen is, and like I said, in today's day and age, we really can understand this. When a person goes in and he buys a kitchen, or he buys a stroller, or whatever it is, or today an appliances, it's totally backed up. The stores don't have it yet, so you pay in advance, and you get your appliance. You get your washing machine 6 months later. And by that point, inflation had kicked in three different times. And it's worth much more money. So essentially, since you fronted money, you did a psika. Now, psika means you front money and you set the price. The price is not going to be as according to the rate when you get the appliance. You set the price. I'm buying a kitchen. I know everything's backed up. And the supply chain is all backed up. And everything's all backed up, right? But I'm giving you the money now, and I'm setting the price, and whenever the kitchen comes in, this is the price. So what happens is, Chazal looked at this, and they said, essentially, because you fronted money, which has a tsuras halva, has a form of a lending, because you lent money in the context of a sale, we know it's sale, so it's only midrabbanan, but it's still usher because it might go up. Now, why is everything going up? Now, today's day and age, everything's going up. So it's happening all the time. It's happening all the time across all industries. People are unknowingly engaging in psikas. Now, to know the halakhs of psika, that is the avoided today. Now, the reverse is a tarsha. A tarsha means you have like a credit, right? And in many industries, is the standard that you purchase things in the service industry and a lot of the retail, wholesale industry, you purchase things and you pay later, right? When you pay later, essentially, the person holding the money, he, in an abstract form, you don't see a halva, like you don't see a lending like in the first case where you give money early. But if you take possession of goods, right, the halacha is you're really supposed to pay on the spot. Now, if you're holding money, the seller is lending you money. The seller is lending you money. So that's tomorrow. Tomorrow's tarsha, and tarsha is very negay. Are you allowed to charge more? Because I say, you know what, you'll pay me later, I'm charging extra. Right, and that's in many industries. There's 2, 10, net 30, right? So you so in 10 days you get a discount, which Chazal look at it, the right price, most shitas hold, and then you pay more, right? You don't get the discount, which means you're paying more. You pay in 30 days, and essentially that's called tarsha. So I don't want to confuse you, but those are two sides of one coin. Today we're learning. This is Akdama. You can't ask questions. Yeah. So this is, everyone knows the rules of Akdama is no questions. Sorry. Grocery bill, that's right, remind me, because that's a good question that happens. So, go ahead. So today we're going to learn on Psika. Now, this is a public service, this is just my opinion. If you could go on page 5 and do the Mishnah, you're going to learn about the basic halachas of Psika, Yotz HaShar, and I believe the Mishnah with Rashi, and then you could go learn why is exactly it's Mutter. You will have I'm not saying you have to do it in this order, but I believe you should try to do the Mishnah on page 5, the Gemara on page 9, and the Gemara on page 15. These are 2 Gemaras and 1 Mishnah. And there's a lot of stuff in between, and I'm assuming if you finish this in 6 minutes, I apologize, you can go back. But the thing is, to many people it's new, including myself. I haven't seen this in many, many years. And this is material that should be fresh if we're going to learn the Sugya Psika. Seder, my rabbi, okay, that's it. I yield back to the Olam.